Welcome to a special edition of the Theology Podcast. It's just me, C.R. Wiley, and I'm joined by a couple of other friends. You know the friends I'm normally with. That's Glenn Sunshine and Tom Price, but they're not here right now. Instead, I've got Joel Salatin and John Moody, and we're going to be talking about food, rogue food. And I'd like to just spend a couple of minutes letting Joel and John introduce themselves. So, Joel, it's great to see you. And of course, I've enjoyed your work over the years, and I'm glad that you're going to be coming out to Battleground, Washington to be with us. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm very excited to be with you and be out there. This will be our first Rogue Food Conference in the Pacific Northwest. So thank you for hosting it. And we're looking forward to meeting all the rogues out there. So for me, I'm a farmer and came back to the farm full time September 24, 1982 to the family farm. Mom and dad bought it in 1961, but never made a living from the farm. And we, you know, poked around on lots of different things. And I had chickens and milk and butter and eggs and garden produce, you know, sold at the curb market, which was a Depression era precursor of today's farmers market, all without any inspection, without any government food safety licensing whatsoever. We could butcher, we could drop a beef in the yard and cut it up and sell the meat. You know, I grew up during those days. And as I came back to the farm, that's what I realized was the opportunity, value adding and direct marketing a branded product into our neighborhood. But there was a problem. The government said that was illegal. And we lost a lot of the freedoms that we had back in the 50s and 60s by the time the late 70s and early 80s rolled around. And so, you know, we have struggled we have struggled forever with these horrendous food police, you know, bureaucrats that want to get between my lips and my throat and don't want to allow consenting adults to exercise freedom of choice in their providence. And so that's what the Rogue Food Conference is about. It's what my life has been about. And my mantra is, as we have had our battles and skirmishes with the food police, it's the Mordecai injunction to Esther for such a time as this. And for such a time as this, I represent food freedom, food liberty, and entrepreneurship, market access into the food sector.
Well, this is great. I was just reading Esther this morning. So this is providential. It all comes together. Anyway, great. That's great. So John, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm John. I have six kids, a beautiful wife. Probably at the moment, we have about 127 chickens, 42 rabbits, and we're about to have 42. Yeah, we have four does about to have babies. So we're multiplying like rabbits, and I'm a bit of an entrepreneur and a homesteader. Joel came into this through a family legacy. I came into this world through a health crisis. When I was finishing my seminary degree, I almost died. And that makes it really hard to finish school. It's highly inconvenient.
So the subject matter didn't kill you. It was something else that was just about to kill you. It was what you were eating.
Yeah, I enjoyed the subject, including, now as a student, everybody hated to see because I was the guy who loved both Hebrew and Greek. So nobody liked me. They're like, man, that was it. So I came into this world through healing a number of really nasty health conditions I developed in my early 20s. That led us down the line to, you know, starting a local food buying club. And through the local food buying club being raided by our state health department, I eventually became friends with Joel and some other people who thought there's nothing better to do with our time than to afflict government bureaucrats of all shapes, stripes, and sizes in any ways we possibly can.
Well, that's a beautiful vision.
Anyway, it's pretty successful.
Yeah, it's very, very appropriate for our church. You'll kind of learn that when you're with us. But anyway, yeah, we're really looking forward to this. We got these two events. On Saturday is the Rogue Food event, and that's basically the event that most folks are familiar with, and you guys have had for a few years now in other parts of the country, and now we're going to see it here in the Pacific Northwest. So it's Rogue Food Battleground. Our church offices are located in Battleground, but the actual meeting place for the event will be in Vancouver, which is just right next door. It might as well just be back at Battleground. It's right there. And so if you have an interest in that particular event, there's a link in the show notes and you can sign up. The tickets, though, are kind of flying off the shelf, right, John? I mean, it's not like we have many left.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably have 2 dozen or less tickets left as of today.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, there is Joel Goes Rogue, which is on Friday. So on Friday at the same location, we're going to have a special event that's focused more on connecting this approach to food and thinking about food freedom to the Christian faith. Now, I know that that is something that you guys have going on in your minds all the time, but this is going to be an opportunity for us to really kind of zero in on that a little bit. Is there anything, Joel, that you want to say about what you're going to talk about at that point or on Friday?
Yeah, I think that if I could paint it this way, it is that, you know, biblically we have the principle of the broad way and the narrow way. And there is a decided orthodoxy in our culture. We've seen orthodoxy in economics. I mean, we saw orthodoxy during COVID when everybody listened to Fauci. We have orthodoxy in education. You know, you're supposed to send your kids to school, to an institutional school. We have orthodoxy in investment. You get the 401k plan, you invest in Wall Street, and you'll be taken care of. And we have an orthodoxy in food, that food is supposed to be cheap, and that the only the only authentic food that you should be that you should feel comfortable eating is food that's stamped with a USDA approval label. And that is as erroneous and brings as erroneous a food to our bodies as the orthodox stamp of approval on a lot of other things, including a stamp of approval on denominations and church teaching and whatever. Okay. And so as we look at our responsibility as Christians, you know, the question that I always ask is, so does God care? Does God care what's on my plate? Does God care what I eat? And I'm not trying to start a cult. I'm not trying to start anything like that. But if God numbers the hairs on our head and knows when a sparrow falls, he probably cares about how an animal is raised, how the soil is treated, how the water is treated, and how our bodies are treated. And so the question, does God care, I think, permeates a lot of areas of life. And in my story is that I have lived, you know, as an ecological, you know, biological farmer. I've over my life, I've spent, you know, way the bulk of my time with creation worshipers,
right?
Not people who are stewarding creation as a worshipful attitude toward the creator worship who owns all of it. And so it is that juxtaposition that several years ago I began, I created a moniker for myself. I'm a Christian libertarian environmentalist capitalist lunatic farmer, in order to walk into a room as my bio and say, don't put me in a box. And because in most of our churches, you know, if you dare to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't have styrofoam plates. How about we use paper plates? Or better yet, let's go to the Salvation Army, buy a bunch of mismatched plates, wash them, and we won't even have any trash. The deacons and elders look at you like, what? Are you some sort of greeny weeny earth muffin tree hugger gaya worshiping commie pinko? You know. and so we can't even have the discussion. And so look, I'm the first to admit I don't have all the answers, but I do think God is honored when, like Jacob, we wrestle, and we wrestle with as Francis Schaeffer used to say, how shall we then live in a practical way, not some, you know, academic way, a focus group, but actually, what does what I believe in the pew, what does that look like on my menu? Do my pew and menu line up? That's the question.
Yeah, this is great stuff, Joel. I mean, I think this is something that anybody who cares about Scripture and understands the nature of God's authority and how that relates to every facet of life ought to be thinking about. So this is great stuff. Now, just before we kind of wrap things up here, because, you know, we don't want to go on and on because we're just giving people a sample. So do you think that there's been kind of a moving of the needle on this subject in the course of your life? Do you feel like maybe things are improving a little bit?
The one time when I saw the needle really move, and maybe looking back now in the next year, we'll say there's been two movings of the needle. The first moving of the needle was in the homeschooling movement. When we began farming, you know, full time back in the early 1980s, I came to the farm full time September 24, 1982. And at that time, all of our visitors were pretty much, you know, liberal, Democrat, environmentalist, earth muffins, you know, basically leftover hippies, the beaded, bearded, braless revolution. And, you know, they were looking for, you know, they were looking for that for sure. You know, earth care. And and then, wow, the homeschooling movement hit. And suddenly what we saw was it changed to half was conservative homeschoolers and half were these liberal Democrats that were caring for the you know, environmentalists, the classic sure. environmentalists, and what we saw was that people that opted out of the orthodoxy in homeschooling started looking. They found it so satisfying. They looked around and said, "Well, what else have I been missing out on?" Right, next thing right. you know, they've got a grain mill in their kitchen, and they've got a goat and a milk cow and some raised beds, and they've got a canner, and you know, and they've right. got a garden, and they're doing these other things. And so that was the big needle push that I saw. And it could be that the second one in my lifetime will end up being COVID when right. people actually got scared about the fragility of our long custody food chains and said, you know what? Maybe we'd better have a pantry. Maybe we'd better have a little stockpile. Dave Ramsey says a 6-month emergency cash fund. Maybe we ought to have a 6-month food fund, larder. So we're not quite as dependent on Putin for fertilizer and Cargill for our, you know, our chickens.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, anyway, as you can tell, folks who are listening in and watching, we've got a lot of energy here, and this is going to be a great event. And we hope that you'll take the time to be part of it. We've got some links in the show notes, a link that'll take you to the Rogue Food event on Saturday, and then a separate link to the Joel Goes Rogue event on Friday. And you can find both Joel and John's books wherever better books are sold online. We might even have a few of them there available that day for you to purchase, and maybe these guys would even concede to sign it for you. But anyway, great stuff. Thanks a lot, guys, for your time. Like I said, we wanted to keep this short and sweet, and I think we got the message out there. And if anybody's got some sense, they'll be with us on November 3rd and 4th. And I'll be with you guys on those days, too. So we'll see you then.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Chris.
You bet.